Hey, it's the 4th of July, and I'd like to teach tonight on deliverance by love and compassion. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Hey, I want to thank Jerry and Dean for the privilege of sitting up here in front of you and being able to share a little bit about God's Word. I want to thank you for the love and kindness that you shared with me and my wife. We lived here for 36 years, and now we live in a different location, full of sunshine and iguanas. We miss you a lot, a whole lot, but we're doing well. And I think sometimes, honestly, I might have not appreciated everything that we have here in the Northeast in New Jersey. I really can't say New Jersey because we're in Pennsylvania. But, you know, we lived here a long time. And we went to a lot of big fellowships and had a lot of fun and went to advances and heard the band and heard a lot of cool things. But now we live somewhere else. It's the same word and everything else. But my wife and I, we wanted to come here and we wanted to get a lot of light. In Florida, you get a lot of other kind of light. But we wanted to come here and get a lot of light and get a lot of love. On the other hand, you know, God's Word has to live, not only in New Jersey or in Pennsylvania or New York, but God's Word has to live in other states and other countries around the world. And I'm glad that my wife and I, we have the opportunity to do that. You know, the world is a wacky place. I think we all know that. And I'm not going to sit up here and talk about all the negatives of the world because I think we all know that. But one thing that is different with technology is that we get the wackiness of the world whenever we want, like a doctor who found a nice big juicy vein to put the drug in there. I mean, the negatives and the worldly wisdom and whatever, it's right on our cell phone and we can get it whenever we want or sometimes when we don't want it. And it's a wacky place out there, and coming here to be able to get God's Word and fill our minds up is just really beautiful. But you know, some people in the world today, they've put up a lot of great walls to survive. And some people out there, they're burned. They're burned so bad that, you know, they have very little feeling anymore, very little drive, very little desire to change. That's the end of my teaching. Okay, God bless you. Some people are absorbed in themselves, you know, and they are professionals in reach instead of outreach. One of my favorite Dr. Werwell lines is, a man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. And people sometimes have the idea of, well, the world is going to shit, but I'm going first class on the Titanic. So we live in a world that has got a lot of needs, and people are motivated by a lot of different things, and some people don't have a lot of motivation at all. But today we're going to look at the ministry of Jesus Christ and see the deliverance that he brought from love and compassion. We heard two phenomenal teachings today. My God, they were just tremendous. And Jerry's last night, it was just really tremendous. You know, Joe taught about the love of God and how God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and brought about deliverance. Today, we're going to look at something similar. We're going to look at how Jesus Christ loved, and in his life, because he loved, he brought about deliverance to people. Things that Joe mentioned today in his teaching, that some characteristics about love, was that love has affection, love has goodwill, love has delight, love is to be kind, It's to be compassionate. It's to be self-denying, willing to put yourself out for others. And these are the things we're going to see tonight in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ was a man just like us. In all ways, he was tempted, yet without sin. He was disrespected, he was neglected, and he was rejected. Yet he loved, he cared, he had compassion, and he brought deliverance to God's people. Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. So this is the ministry of Jesus Christ, and a person could study for years about this ministry. And here are some verses that describe this ministry. In Luke chapter 4 and in verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted.'" I heard a song or two along those lines. "To preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Quite a ministry. And tonight we're going to look at some of these things as they were motivated by the love of God. The greatest ministry of healing and deliverance was the ministry of Jesus Christ. And all of humanity revolves around that life, even the year, the acceptable year of the Lord, when Jesus Christ walked with God. So tonight we're going to look at these things. Let's take a look at John chapter 15, please. John 15. John 15. John 15 and in verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his" what? Christ. Jesus Christ gave his life, as Joe was talking about. He gave his life. Because he gave his life, there was great deliverance. You know, my wife and I, we live in the suburbs of Fort Lauderdale, and there's some big boats down there. And you see these big boats and you go, "Wow, these, you guys like boats? Anybody like boats?" A few, it's okay. A few people like boats. You see these big boats and go, "Wow, this guy has got money. He must be so wealthy because he's got something that most people can't afford." You know, when we're born again, we have something that nobody could afford. We do. Nobody could pay that price. Jesus Christ paid for it. And man, we ought to use that thing that we got. So Jesus Christ laid down his life so that we could have what we have. John chapter 10, please. John 10. John chapter 10 and in verse 11. John 10, 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his" what? "Life for the sheep." In the Bible, the shepherd, you know, is just a wonderful man who loved the sheep, and he would do just about anything for the sheep, and he treated the sheep almost like his children. And here in this situation, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." The shepherd, as we're going to see a little bit, it's a tremendous example of the love of God. The shepherd would take care of the sheep, heal, protect, guide, and all these different things. So we're going to look at tonight about how Jesus Christ loved, how he had compassion and how he brought deliverance to God's people. Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, and in verse 14. Matthew 12, 14. It says, "Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him how they might," what? Did Jesus Christ do anything wrong?
No.
Did he hurt people?
No.
Yet these people wanted to what?
Destroy.
Something's wrong here, something, isn't it? "Then Pharisees went out and held counsel against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he disrespected them all." No, he what? He healed. Here are these guys, and they wanted to destroy him, and he goes away. All these multitudes follow him, and what does he do? He heals them. Dudes are trying to kill him, destroy him, and he goes away, and these people, they all get healed. Something's wrong with that. Something is very wrong with. So the context here is him healing people. And verse 16, "And charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying," now watch this, "Behold my servant." This is prophecy from the Old Testament. "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall so show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." Remember now, we're looking at deliverance by way of love and compassion. The context here is Jesus Christ healed all these folks, yet people wanted to destroy him. Now watch this. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment into victory." Who'd like to take a guess now as to what this verse really means? No hands. That's a very good thing. "A bruised reed shall he not break." Now, the shepherds were out on the field at nighttime. And you know, if you're out in the field at night in the Bible lands, maybe the cell phone signal isn't very good. And you really can't get on Facebook or do whatever. So you need something to be able to do at nighttime. So what they would do, they would get a reed and they would make a flute out of the reed. And then they would blow and make music at nighttime with this reed. But, you know, a reed is something soft, and if it would fall on the floor, it could get bruised very easily. So with this reed, it would fall, it would get bruised. And here it says here, "A bruised reed shall he not break." The reed, this reed, it has no monetary value. But instead of throwing it away, he would take it and he would fix it, because he was a caring, loving servant, and this bruised reed he would heal. Remember, this is in the context of healing. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench." A smoking flax was like a lamp, an oil lamp. If it ran out of oil, then that wick would start to smoke and burn. And a guy, a servant who cared about the situation, what he would do, he would cut the wick and he would put oil in it. He would fix it. He would heal it because he cared. Jesus Christ was a caring, humble servant. Instead of not caring, he would do whatever he could in the situation to heal, to care, and to fix the situation. And that's really important, isn't it? You know, and that's like us. We have a lot of love, and sometimes we don't really realize what the difference our lives make. You know, many years ago when I was a single guy, I would go home. I was born in San Francisco at a young age, and I would go home. It's an old joke. I would go home, and I would see my mom and my family and whatever. And one day, I went home, and I sat on the plane with this guy, and he was an older guy from Switzerland. And I thought he was pretty old back then, but he could be my age right now. I'm not sure. But anyway, he was kind of an older guy. He was very well-dressed, and he had a little black bag in front of him. And I asked him where he was staying, and he was staying at one of the nicest hotels in San Francisco. And there he was, and I asked him what he was going to do, and he really didn't give me a straight answer. And so I felt sorry for him in a way, you know, and I said, hey, would you like to come to our house for Thanksgiving? And he said, okay, I'll come. And back then for Thanksgiving, we used to eat raviolis from Molinari's Delicatessen with porcini mushroom gravy. Now I have your attention, I know. With a little wine and a little grappa at the end. So I had this guy over and, you know, kind of surprised my mom with him, I think. And there he was. He came for dinner and we had a good time. I forget if he drank some grappa. He might have. But anyway, I took him home and he was happy. He was blessed. And I really, there was something going on that I really couldn't figure out. But I just tried to help the guy, you know. So that was the end. And a few weeks later, I got a letter from him from Switzerland. And he said, you know, I came to San Francisco and I was going to kill myself. And in the black bag that was by my feet were all the drugs I was going to take to kill myself. But because you reached out to me and because you cared about me, then I decided that it was worth living. So I didn't do anything that any of us wouldn't have done, but you care. You care. And this verse about Jesus Christ caring, you never know, but we care. And God's love and God's care is delivering. It's healing. Jesus Christ was a servant who cared, and he did what he took to be able to deliver people. Look at Mark chapter 1, please. Mark 1. Mark 1. Mark 1, chapter 40, verse 40. Mark 1, 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me what? Have you ever seen a picture of a leper? It's not a beautiful picture. Makeup really doesn't help a lot. In the Bible, if there was a leper, you weren't allowed in the town. You had to stay out of the town. And if there was a leper that was walking in the town, then you would walk on the other side of the street. If you were a leper, you didn't get a lot of hugs. You didn't get a lot of requests for slow dancing in the high school. You got basically, nobody wanted to touch you at all. And Jesus moved with compassion. He was compassionate. He cared about this guy. This guy might not have been very pleasant to look at. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and he did what? Touched him. Touched him. He touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Have you ever noticed sometimes that God does stuff for us to build our believing? Have you ever thought about those things? Remember, God showed Paul the third heaven and the third earth to be able to help him. This guy didn't get a lot of hugs, a lot of touches and whatever, and Jesus Christ touched this guy. I wonder what that did for this guy. He touched him. Nobody was going to touch this guy unless it was another leper. This guy, Jesus Christ, touched him, and look what happened. The leper got healed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was what?
Cleansed.
You know, it takes people again to want to reach out, to want to care, to be able to want to help folks along the way. Jesus Christ brought deliverance because he had compassion. Luke chapter 7, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and in verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of the mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Now, she was a what?
Widow.
And guess what? She was there and her son had died. That's one of the saddest things around. The woman was a widow and her son had died. So there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. I know a little bit about dying. My dad died when I was 13, and that wasn't pleasant, and it changed my life, and it took me a long time to get over it, and God healed my heart. In this situation, there was a widow, and her son died. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and them that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, what?
Rise.
He's talking to a dead man. That's the stupidest thing you can do. And he came and touched the bier, and he said and them that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Why did he do that? Because he was moved with compassion. He cared. He cared about people he loved, and that was the motivation, and that was why the deliverance came. And in verse 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified who?
God.
God. They glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited this people. Matthew chapter 20, please. Matthew 20. Compassion. What motivates us? Jesus Christ loved. He was compassionate, and because of that, great deliverance happened. Many people just don't give a crap. Matthew chapter 20, please, and in verse 29. Matthew 20, and in verse 29. It says, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. All right. Where did he leave?
Jericho.
All right. So where did he leave?
Jericho.
Jericho. Now, where was he going? Do we know? He was going to a Met game. No. Where was he going? You know where he was going? He was going to Jerusalem to die. He was going to Jerusalem to die. If you're going to somewhere to die, do you have something on your mind?
Yeah.
And this kind of a death that he was going to have was a terrible death. All right, have a seat. in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, where am I? 29. And they departed from Jericho, and a great multitude followed them. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. And when they heard Jesus pass by, they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should not hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" What do you want? What do you want that I should do unto you? What do you want that I should do unto you? And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be what?
Opened.
So Jesus Christ had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they what? It was kind of hard for them to follow before because they couldn't see. But after that, they could follow very easily. Look at that. Jesus Christ had compassion on them, and that was the motivation, and he touched their eyes, and then they could see. Once again, what was the motivation? It was love. It was compassion, and that brought about deliverance. You know, a few years ago, I got involved with this woman, and she had some needs, and she was an alcoholic, and she punched a cop one time and knocked him down and spent some time in jail. And she had some situations in her life. And in her life was run by the voices in her head. And she made decisions by the committee that was in her brain. And the committee would tell her what to do, and whatever the committee told her to do, she would do it. And so she had some friends in her brain that weren't really friends, but if she wanted to do something, the spirits, the voices in her brain would tell her to do this, and then she would do it. And she was kind of a puppet for the adversary. And for many years, this happened in her life, and you could only imagine the negative garbage stuff that happened in her life and the stuff, the stupid stuff that she did. So she came to fellowship and she was hearing the word a little bit. And one night I knew it was the right thing to do to go over there. And my friend and I went over there, and she had all these convulsions and all this stuff, and all these voices would tell her what to do, and she would do it. She was a puppet for the adversary. And that night, she got delivered in the name of Jesus Christ, and she was set free from all this stuff. Isn't our God bigger than all this?
Yes.
He sure is, isn't he? And so this woman was delivered, and she had no more voices, and she walked around, and you know, I gave her some of Dr. Werbel's books, and she was doing okay for a while. And then after that, she kind of disappeared. She kind of disappeared, and I didn't see her for a while. And one day, somehow, we got together again, and we met at a diner off of Route 17. And she handed me Dr. Werbel's books back, and she said, "I don't want them anymore." And I said, "Well, that's too bad, because of the knowledge of what I was taught by this man, you were delivered from bondage in the name of Jesus Christ." She didn't have the spirits anymore, but she was delivered, but she had freedom of will. We can bring to pass deliverance in people's lives because we have the power of God. We have compassion on people. We can deliver people because we love them. Jesus Christ delivered people because he loved them and he had compassion on them. How big are you spiritually? Most of us have been in the Word a long time. Most of us know God's Word very well. We ought to have the guts enough to walk out on it and really say, okay, Father, tell me what to do. We speak God's Word. And you know, when you speak God's Word, stuff happens. It stirs stuff up. And then all of a sudden, we get into situations, we walk with God, and then you have an opportunity to see God work in your life. Hearing Bible teachings is really good, and that's all well and good. But also to be able to go out and to see God work in all of our life. Most of us have been in the Word a long time. But you know, sometimes we play it safe. And playing it safe ain't going to get you stuff sometimes. You got to have the guts enough to get involved and to speak God's Word and then do whatever it takes. Here it's deliverance from love and compassion. And the world needs love. The world needs compassion. And because of love and compassion and the power of God in operation, we can bring to pass deliverance. Whether your hair is gray or whether you don't have any gray hair, it's the Spirit of God in all of us. And you know, we want to see this stuff, but don't be afraid to step out on what God tells you to do. Because if you want to move the Word, then man. Look at Matthew 14, please. Matthew 14. Now we're going to deal with some situations here with scripture buildup. Matthew 14. Matthew 14 and in verse 10. This is the context here after John the Baptist was killed. John chapter 14 and in verse 10. It says, "And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And he brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." So what was the context? Jesus Christ just heard what? "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place." So look at this. "His disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." John the Baptist just got beheaded and he died. Verse 13, "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place." He just finds out that John the Baptist died. "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place." He got out of there. "And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the" what?
Cities.
Jesus Christ is in a boat, and a whole bunch of people are gone along the shore following him to see where he's going. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 6, please. Mark chapter 6. Jesus Christ hears of the death of John the Baptist, and then he gets in a boat and he leaves. We're going to look and see about this with scripture buildup. Mark chapter 6 and in verse 28. Mark 6, 28. Mark chapter 6 and in verse 28. It says, "And he brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught." So, this is scripture buildup. "And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, a place that's not inhabited, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So putting this record together, Jesus Christ heard of the death of who?
John
the Baptist. And then something else happened. He was with the disciples, and the disciples were moving God's word, healing people, doing whatever, and they were tired, and they almost had no time to eat. So Jesus said, look, let's go away and chill out. So this was going on. John the Baptist had just died, and he was a man of God. And then in this situation, these disciples, they needed to chill out, and they needed a break. So here we are, and in verse 30, Mark 6, 31. And he says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed unto a desert place, an uninhabited place, by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. Jesus took the disciples, and then he got in a boat, and he left. And then there were all these people on the shore, and they beat them to the place where they were going. And there was a whole bunch of people. They must have really wanted to be with Jesus. Maybe they had Jeeps or Range Rovers. Verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, he was moved with compassion toward them. Moved with compassion. He cared about them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many what?
Things.
So there was Jesus Christ. Did he have stuff going on? He had stuff going on. John the Baptist just died. These apostles, they needed some time. He got in a ship and he was going somewhere in the Sea of Galilee, and there were all these people going along the shore, and they beat him to where they were going. And then these people, they were like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd aren't in good shape, right? Do you know the difference between a sheep and a goat? They look different, right? A sheep follows the shepherd. If there's a shepherd, then the sheep will follow the shepherd. You know what goats follow? Goats don't follow the shepherd. A goat follows the he-goat. So goats have their own leader who isn't the shepherd, and there's a wacky goat, and the other goats follow the goat. And that's why there's the believers are called sheep, because they follow the shepherd, and the unbelievers are goats because they follow the he-goat. So in verse 34, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Matthew 14. So they needed a shepherd, and Jesus Christ shepherded them. He taught them. He was moved with compassion. Matthew 14. Matthew 14 and in verse 13. It says, and when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship unto a desert place. And when the people had heard it thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And when Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them, and he taught them. No, he did what?
He healed their sick.
Jesus Christ, he shepherded them, and by scripture buildup, we know he had compassion on them, and he taught them, and he healed them. 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed them. Jesus Christ brought deliverance to God's people. He had compassion and he healed them. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye unto them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 what?
Fishes.
I'm not going to read this whole thing, but in this context, they came as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus Christ shepherded them. What he did was he taught them, he healed them, and then after this, you can read the record. This was the record of the feeding of the 5,000 in the context of Jesus Christ being moved with compassion. All these people followed him, and it was a whole bunch because they were in a desert place, and he feeds the 5,000 people, moved with compassion. Pretty cool. In our lives, we can bring to pass deliverance. We can teach. We can be motivated by moving with compassion. So in summary, Jesus Christ walked with great love and compassion. Because of this, he brought to pass deliverance. He cared about people. He loved them, and he fought for people in so many ways. If you love somebody, then you fight for them. He laid down his life, and because of that, we have deliverance from death. He was a humble, caring servant who didn't throw away stuff, but he healed it. He fixed it because he cared. He was moved with compassion, and he healed the leper. He was moved with compassion, and he healed the blind men. He was moved with compassion, and he raised the son from the dead. He was moved with compassion, and he shepherded them who acted like they had no shepherd. He taught them, he healed them, and all these people followed him, and he healed 5,000 men plus women and children. He was moved with compassion. What made this man do what he did? He loved God and he kept God's word, and also he was moved with compassion, and out of the love of God, he helped people. He delivered them because he cared about people. And to close, Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew 9. Matthew 9 and in verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what?
Compassion.
This was a time in the ministry of Jesus Christ where his ministry was growing in numbers. His ministry was taking off. There were more people getting involved all the time. Do you know, Harbor Light Fellowship is growing. Harbor Light Fellowship is growing in different places, in different countries. This is a time where our ministry is growing. God's word is moving in many different places, not only in the Northeast. And this was a time in the ministry of Jesus Christ where it was really growing and people wanted what Jesus Christ had. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There was not enough people to take care of the people. They were scattered. They were hurting. They were fainting. They were harassed. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Without the shepherd, the wolves come. The sheep aren't healed. The sheep aren't led. the sheep aren't taken care of. And because of that, in 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. There were people coming in a lot of different places. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And his solution to that is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. In that time in his ministry, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a ton of people and they needed people to rise up. And he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that would he send forth laborers into the harvest so people could be taken care of. Right now in our ministry, in our lives, there's people in other states and other countries who are hearing God's word. And there is a need for us to continue to pray and continue to rise up and grow so we can help people and expand our vision like Jerry taught in the beginning. Man, we got to think about this because there's people in so many different places who want to hear God's word. Jesus Christ, there was many people, and he was talking about praying to the Lord of the harvest so people would rise up. Here in our society, in our country today, there's a lot of people, a lot of the sheep, a lot of the people that have been taught God's word over the years have been scattered. And the devil has scattered people in a lot of places, hasn't he? And you know, it takes people who want to help and to have get new people and to see God's word live, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to bring deliverance to God's people. And I don't know anybody in the whole world who's been taught more of God's word than us and people who come from our background. God moved in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago, and now it's our move. Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thanks for taking care of us and for all you do. And thanks for the wonderful example of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
What a great teaching, huh? You know, Steve's teaching really hit me. You know, I imagine it's just the buildup of the word of God that we've heard. You know, you go from last night to this morning and about God's love and everything. It didn't work for it. No way. Be strong in his grace. It's all about him. But again, we're the only ones that can manifest it because of the spirit that we have. I was thinking about light and the progression of light in the Word. And many times when we do advances, and certainly camps, you see what light does to maybe hidden darkness or blatant darkness in the life of a believer, which is not to condemn anybody because we live in a stupid world. And the word says that light makes manifest darkness. So sometimes when we're not used to it, which none of us have been used to this for quite a while. I mean, it's been 4 years since we've had this exposure and this time with a group this large together being bombarded by the word. And so light makes manifest darkness. So you get a bunch of light, and maybe there's been hidden darkness or blatant darkness. It gets stirred up. And usually around the second or third day of something like this, things get stirred up, okay? Maybe things that are bothering you or people that are bothering you or you that are bothering you. And you had every reason and everything. Maybe You ought to dump that chump. Lose that dude. And the exposure of light is what does it. You know, I love these things because I never remember who teaches what. And that kind of is good because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who sings a song. It's that the song gets sung. It's that the word of God is made manifest, right? And the more of the light, it says the entrance of thy words giveth what?
Light.
And if it gives us understanding unto the what?
Simple.
So God's word gives us, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Okay? And it giveth understanding unto the simple. It doesn't say that first. It doesn't say understanding unto the simple and the entrance of thy words giveth the right? The entrance of thy word gives light. And then it gives understanding. And I pray, and that's, you know, a prayer in Ephesians, that the eyes of our understanding can be lit up, where both eyes are lit up, not just one. In the Gospels, many times it's singular. In the book of Ephesians, it's eyes something. So then, you know, the further progression is that light it dispels darkness. And, you know, again, it's been mentioned, you know, we live in a world, all of us are affected by it in so many ways, and a lot of the ways are not really positive. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Steve Zalesny or Jerry Carr or Bugs Bunny. It doesn't matter. You know, we are affected, and the world affects us in a bad way. Patty hit that. Good Lord. Patty just, at least he said, slapped us. You know, it was great, and he's right. We're fools when we believe what the world says before what God's word says. So the quicker we can get to the word of God and not on personalities or conflicts between each other, good Lord, come on, grow up. Did God forgive you?
Yes.
Then shut up. A long time ago. So what's your beef? Let it go. The entrance of the word gives light. Gives understanding unto the simple. Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and what?
Healed them.
And?
Delivered them.
And so is that true?
Yes.
So no matter what our problem is, and we have a myriad of problems, is the word right or are our problems right? Most people's problems get magnified because they let the sun go down upon their wrath. And then they end up angry or bitter or just not giving a shit. Truth is simple. Error is complicated. If I did something wrong, you know, and you know I did something wrong, and you tell me I did something wrong, you know what I'm going to do? Say I'm sorry. If I did something wrong. And that should be it. But no. That's why marriages are successful or not. Communication. Full sharing. Oh man, you know, it's just the way to go. The other way is just not good. And same with the great fellowship. You know, the fellowships we go to in our houses. They should be family. It is family, right?
Yeah.
Spirit's thicker than blood. And so we help each other. We rejoice with each other. And we cry with each other. We help each other. Just Steve's teaching, good Lord, like a shepherd would protect his animals. We protect each other by God's word. You know, it's great having Tim and Hannah Gilmore live with us. They're such a blessing to be with. They love the word. You love the word, I love the word. We're not going to have a problem. And so many things crossed my mind today. You know, somebody thought I was on drugs because I was so verbal today. I was like a caged cat. Poor John and Barbara Rue. God, they probably think I'm crazy. But it's just because of the word. You know, I need this. as bad as you do or more. And, you know, here we sit.